Stop, drop, and listen. I'm Magda, and you've just arrived at your final destination. If it's raw, real, and unedited, I like it. Live, from the bottom of my heart, this podcast is everything you've never expected. I'm going to sign my name across the airwaves by daring to be different. Muchos arigato. The secret to my weight loss goes in three parts. One of those parts is what I ate every day, what I eat every day, what I swear by. It's Verda. It comes in three flavors, chocolate, vanilla, berry. Where do you buy it? My website, www.atreve-tisandtom.com. I've been eating this every day for 3 years. It changed my body. It changed my life. Verda, a variation for the word green. In Spanish, it's verde. In French, it's verde. In my language, it's weight loss. So about 6 months ago, a life coach that I worked with on a collaboration for actually yoga radio locally here in Miami, her name is Vanessa Scotto. She's a meditation specialist. She suggested that one of the topics that I talk about that she thought would be interesting, and I actually agreed with her, is frenemies. And while I'm introducing this topic to you guys, I'm looking for, this is it, a song by Dionne Warwick. I guess you have to be 35 and up to know this song, about friends. And I'm trying to look for that song and I just can't. Dionne Warwick is awesome. She's related to Whitney Houston. She's just an awesome lady. And here's the song. You guys remember that song? I think I used to like drink wine and listen to this song when I was 18. So yeah, the thing about love and friendship is, I think, as deep as being in love with your spouse or your partner. Frenemies, how to deal with, what is a frenemy? That's, and you know, I went on search when Vanessa brought this up to me 6 months ago to define what a frenemy was. Would you even know if you had a frenemy? So I'm going to go and give you a couple of the definitions that I found. There are the people in your life who purport to be a friend, but do some oddly enemy-like things to you on more than an occasional basis. And in a way, that seems pretty predetermined to unsettle you. Spotting them and dealing with them is vital to preserve your own sanity and to know when to ditch the friend who pushes things just a bit too far. So that is one of those definitions. But actually, I got a couple. And it was really interesting. One was one who pretends to be a friend but is actually an enemy. It's a blend of a friend and an enemy. First known use was in 1977. Scrabble it's a playable word. Frenemy. I've seen a lot of posts on frenemies. One of my favorite posts is, my circle is so small, I'm beginning to talk to myself. And in actuality, that is really one of the ways that I live, is with a very, very small circle. And yeah, no, I do talk to myself when I'm not doing a podcast, that is. So another definition is a combination of the word friend and enemy. It describes two people, usually women, which really sucks. Really, really sucks. I mean, we're supposed to help each other, who are best friends most of the time, but seem to dislike each other immensely the other part of the time. Often the frenemy is one of the friends, leaving the other one confused as to the genuineness of the friendship. In the Webster's Dictionary, frenemy has been in existence since, like I said, 1977. Although its exact origins are unknown, the term became popular in 2005 when Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, remember that show, The Simple Life? We're doing that show. The two friends had a falling out and Hilton reportedly refused to work with Richie. Richie was let back on the show, but had to film separately from Hilton. This switching back and forth between fighting and being friendly prompted some of the media to call them frenemies. Here's some more reality TV frenemies you might remember. Really, who cares? I mean, you can Google that on your own. A frenemy is someone who will pretend to be close to you, but at the same time belittle you or say snarky things to make you feel bad. Interesting. When you belittle someone, you're just being little. It's just small and shallow. Saying snarky things to make you feel bad. Like, okay, let's say you have a friend and they know that you are weak in, let's say, in your personal life or for work, or you're not doing so well financially. Instead of building you up, they keep putting you down. Instead of giving you helpful information or even just helping you, they make it worse for you. Misery is attractive, unfortunately, to people, and tragedy. And instead of helping this frenemy, instead of helping you, they just make you feel worse. And actually defining and identifying a frenemy is the hard part in what I've found when I started to research frenemies. Imagine you have a friend and they are married to someone you don't like. You could opt to be their friend and never speak of the person you don't like, or you could diss the spouse of your friend as often as you possibly can. And who are you hurting? You're hurting your friend. So you're not being a good friend. You're just dissing your friend. Or concoct or deliberate or conspire to not elevate your friend is probably also a great way to describe a frenemy. You know, about 2 weeks ago when I came back from Canada, at the airport, I ran into someone that I knew, I'd say, 30 years ago. We were best friends. We had a huge falling out 30 years ago. Somebody I think about almost daily. I hadn't seen her, spoken to her in 20 years. She was my best friend. She was like my sister. And when I saw her by mistake, and I don't think it was a mistake, I think it was in the stars, destiny, and fate, all I could do was hug. She hugged back. We didn't cry. We just smiled. We hugged tight. Everything goes full circle. I'm not afraid of karma. You know that thing that says, I can see you, karma. Karma's a bitch. Good. I'm not a bitch. So I have nothing to fear. And the frenemy thing, I don't have a lot of friends. I really don't. I have very, very few friends. But the ones I have, I love with everything I am. And if I ever suspect that someone is being unloyal to me, ask my husband, the only husband I ever had. If you're not loyal to me, then I cannot be your friend. I just can't. My level of loyalty is pretty high. It's just really high. I would do anything for my friend. If my friend called me and said, you know what, you have a contact for my job betterment, call that contact. Guess what? I'm on the phone in 2 seconds. Or I need money. If I have the money, if I have it, I'm going to give it. If you need my dress, you can borrow it. I'm going to pray that you give it right back. I really don't like lending my clothes. I don't, because it's going to come back smelly, ruined, stained, with a hole, whatever. I'd rather just give it. But the point is, if I'm your friend, I'm on your team. Not a little bit, not 9 to 5, not Monday through Friday. You're allowed to call me till 8. I'm going to stick a knife in your back when I feel like it. No. Mm-mm. That's not my type of friendship. And I don't have a spouse that cheats on me. That's not my type of marriage. Loyal is royal. There's just one way to be loyal. And I think friends, actually, they hurt more losing a friendship. You can break up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend faster than you can break up with a friend, I think. So how to deal with a frenemy? Well, before we go into that, if you're going to criticize someone else, okay, you have to admit to your own mistakes first. And we all make them. But be aware of your own before you point out someone else's. And I think if we did do that and we did show gratitude and actually admit to being imperfect, then the world would just be a better place. And maybe we wouldn't have enemies and frenemies. I call they're enemies. A frenemy is an enemy in the first place. So spot the frenemy in your life. How do you do that? Well, what do they stand to gain from you? Before you can deal with a frenemy, you need to know your friends with one. Do you have one that you suspect? Today I was with Laura Posada. We were practicing. I mean, that lady, she's going places. She's writing books and she's traveling and she's master life coaching in public. So we were talking today about the topic that I was going to use for my podcast. And she said, I have one. Well, bingo. Lucky for you, you can identify that. Some indicators might include, let's say, they are never able to enjoy your good fortune. Something great happens to you and they sneer, they snarl, they say something derogatory, undermining, or barbed. Like, oh my God, I went with my girlfriend to this great restaurant. And so your best friend says, yeah, but your girlfriend's not really that good. It's undermining. It makes you feel bad. They're a master at the art of backhanded compliments. Those compliments, which they sound okay on the surface, but actually can be taken in another way, less flattering. For example, they may say something like, I don't know, I like it when you wash your hair. That's when it's pretty. So that's like double-edged, right? It's almost insinuating that you're ugly without your hair washed. And they seem to use the art, that art, often. They gossip about you. They talk about you. When it gets back to you and you raise it, like you say, hey, wait a minute, I heard that. They lie through their teeth and they say, no, it was misinterpreted. They always backbite about you and try to spoil your friendship with others. Like, that person's bad for you. I'm your only friend, right? I'm your only friend. This is just a little way you can identify a frenemy. Listen to your gut, your instincts. Like when my husband was cheating on me, I a couple of times actually tried to catch him and I couldn't because the guy, I mean, he was quick on his feet. Every time I went to catch him, he found out or he blocked me, almost like, you know, you would block a friend from getting a girl at a bar. There's a word for that. I'm not going to say it. But the point is he would block me. And I didn't trust my own instincts. So here in frenemies, you should listen to your own instincts. How does being with a person leave you feeling? How do you feel when you're with that person? Do you leave hollow? Are you uplifted in their presence? Or do you always manage to take wind out of your sails when you're with them and they leave you feeling down and unsupported, maybe negative, insecure? If you find that whenever you're down and miserable, they're around, that's a problem. When you're always like down in the dumps and they're there, someone down on their luck as a target for control and manipulation is easy. So if you're emotionally drained or you're in a bad place, being with a frenemy or talking to a frenemy is a very bad idea. Moreover, if you are spending time with them or talking to them is just, it's like putting a gun to your head. You're left feeling sapped and bad about yourself. Then you're not, you know, with a good person that has good information. Good friends make you feel good about yourself. They lift you up. Take note of anything like that. Be wary of whenever you try to improve yourself, such as losing weight, being good on your diet, studying harder, going for a promotion, being more aggressive with your work, that they do their best to sabotage those efforts. Like, hey, you know, screw the diet. Let's go party all night. Or, hey, forget your girlfriend. I got a girl for you. Definite sex for you. You know, maybe you shouldn't do it like that. Something that's making you money, something that's fruitful. Maybe you should do it like this. Indeed, they may even encourage you to do things that will harm your progress, such as badmouth the boss or eat sweets on the weekend. Frenemies tend to bring out the worst in a person because of the relationship. It's just a bad fit. It's just a bad fit. It doesn't matter how long you've known someone or where you met them. What matters is a person that chooses to stay through the good and the bad. I think that that's a good indication of a good friend. The frenemies have your best interest at heart. In fact, you feel that every time you want to talk about something with them, they're likely to get really argumentative, roll their eyes, make unkind remarks, or simply just be negative. You ask the person to support you on something, let's say your work, on something weeks ago, but when the time comes, they have truly a lame excuse for wriggling out. I just can't. I'm not able to. This is in the way. And they do it time and time again. So what do? You make changes. Change. If you're not sure whether or not you have a frenemy, talk over your concerns with a friend, a real one. You're absolutely sure about this person. And don't feel ever unhappy around. This person may throw a new perspective onto the situation. Perspective that helps you to realize the value of your relationship with the frenemy. What are you gaining from the frenemy? Except bullshit, negative insecurity. Obviously, be certain you're talking to someone whom you can trust and isn't likely to pass this back to the frenemy. Trust. If you don't trust the person, if you can't be honest with your frenemy or what you think could possibly or potentially be a frenemy, that's a good sign. A frenemy who suspects you're onto them through talking to other people and thereby warning others can be very unpleasant to be around. Okay, so once you've identified you got the frenemy, once you've talked to yourself and your instincts you trust, then you've spoken to a real true friend. The next step is just confronting the enemy. Frenemy. It's funny how I keep saying the enemy. Instead of skulking around and carrying this burden on your shoulders, come out and express your concerns straight to their face. I love it when someone says, I never want to talk to you again. Guess what? That's a favor. Avoid acting vulnerable or distressed when you're confronting a frenemy. Simply stick to the facts and express how certain things have happened and how they made you feel. For example, I felt really put down when you suggested my costume was too tight on me for the dance class. Did you really mean to be that unkind to me? Or you could say, I am your friend. I consider you to be my friend. And it really hurt me yesterday when you said that I was too stupid and easily distracted to be a good writer in our group talk. I know you think you said it in a funny way, but I'm a bit vague at times. It really struck me as a bizarre way to make a joke. And I felt it came at my expense and it hurt me. Or, I feel really disappointed when you say one thing but mean another, such as telling me my jeans are great for the price I paid, as if you were intimating that I bought something cheap or that they really don't look so nice. Why is it so hard for you to be friendly and frank with me instead of mocking me all the time, mocking me, laughing at me? That's a frenemy. Confronting a frenemy. So, expect your frenemy to be surprised or in denial. What, me? Being forthright about your feelings is basically calling out a frenemy and forcing them to either own up or to deny it. It could go either way, and even if they deny it, they may not stop the behavior and just keep on doing what they've done to hurt you. They're not going to change. Or they may become angry with you and refuse to discuss it, in which case you're getting a very clear indication that it's probably time to let go of this friendship or so-called friendship. Sometimes a breakup is a blessing. Remember that if they blow a fuse, that you're not much into them by this stage anyway because you've realized or suspected that they're not loyal. At least the truth is out in the open and allows you to begin focusing more on the good and healthy relationships in your life. It's better to be alone than to be with someone who isn't happy for you or doesn't want the best for you or thinks that their best is better than your best. I think that's bullshit. Be realistic about the chances of staying friends with a frenemy. Although it's sad, sometimes a breakup is a blessing. While it is important to be compassionate and realize that your frenemy may have gotten into a pattern of difficult interactions with others and see themselves as clever, witty, or superior, it's equally important to protect yourself, to guard yourself. If the frenemy can only interact like this, you're never going to feel safe, supported, or happy around them. Can you trust them with your baby, with your spouse, with your money? Okay. And if the answer is no, maybe it's not a good place to be. Look to yourself. Is it possible that you have some of the traits of a frenemy too? Hanging around people who use wit and words to build you up can soon rub off, especially if there is an attempt to be part of a popular group. Be honest with yourself in your assessment and own up to yourself if you've been carrying some of these frenemy-like behaviors too, and put a stop to it, because sometimes hanging out with frenemies rubs off. And then when you decide that you want to make the break from a frenemy, once you realize that you're dealing with one and you've asked for the reasons, but there's no likelihood of change in your frenemy's behavior and attitude, then withdraw yourself from a failed relationship. It's as easy as that. It's easy like stopping smoking. It's easy like ending a marriage with a cheater. Remind yourself that it isn't a friendship you're ending, but a toxic interaction, and that both of you will be better off from being apart and going your own ways. Because if your friend is not there for you at all times, they're not your friend. Above all, remain polite and nice, even in distance. There is no need to rub salt on a wound. There isn't. And by the way, funny enough, after 20 years of not seeing that frenemy, my sister, the only thing I felt towards her was love. So spot the frenemy in your life. Before you can deal with the frenemy, you need to know you're friends with one. Then you trust your instincts. Then you confront. Then you make decisions. It's as easy as that. So frenemies, an interesting topic. I'm glad Vanessa Scotto brought this to my attention. It's, I believe, a very sad topic. I think a friendship is as it can be as meaningful as a marriage. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, like I say in all my podcasts, I have very few friends. I consider them family. I have broken up with some of my friends that I've realized were gaining from me in a toxic fashion. And so yeah, I suffered a breakup, but I'm better off. So anyway, Dionne Warwick, here you go. Let's finish off with her. Maybe some homework. That's what friends are for. What are friends for? That'll be my next friendship podcast. What are friends for? Till then, thanks for listening to At Revite. I got him. I got my favorite sponsor. They're all my favorite sponsor, but this one's open for life. I'm so fresh, fresh to death. Here in the 305, there's a place called Hugo Fresh, where we drink mad juice. They've got the right medicina for you. It's where the vida is. Homegrown, local love, community members, and just downright outrageous. They're paddleboarders. They're yogis. They're very LA, very New York, and now they're my sponsors with various locations throughout South Florida. www.hugofresh.com. They're open for life.